And I got to thinking about that, and I thought, we all wonder about things. I wonder, I think probably everybody does, why God does the things that he does. We wonder why God allows to happen the things that he allows to happen. Sometimes we wonder why God doesn't do things differently or do something different. And the problem is our wonderings are always, we figure God ought to be just a little bit different. And the problem is that we do that from a human perspective. We look at things. I've been building a deck out on our out beside our house. It's not a thing of beauty. Don't come by and look at it. But yesterday I was putting up the little balusters on the sides, you know. And every now and then I'd look at one of those and I'd think, boy, that's not straight up and down. So I'd put the level on it, and the level would say that it was straight up and down. And I'd step back and look, and I just thought, boy, that's just not right. So I'd change it. From my eye told me it was crooked. So I went and I changed it, and my eye told me it was straight. So I put the level back on it, and I thought, boy, now this level will finally be right. And the level said it was crooked. And I had to learn to trust the level. Sometimes the things that God does, they don't make sense to us. Sometimes the things that God allows, sometimes the things that God doesn't do, they just don't make sense to us. We just have to learn to trust God. Trust the level. He knows what's going on. This week, as I began to prepare for a message, this one phrase kept going through my mind. I don't know why it was, but that phrase was, God is good. And so because God is good, we can trust him. So I looked up the word good in my concordance. I have this big, huge book. It's called a concordance. It's about that thick, honestly. Every word in the Bible is in that concordance and wherever it's listed. So I looked up the word good, and I found Psalm chapter 86, verse 5. And I began to read around that. And so that's what I want to use this morning. Psalm chapter 86. We're going to read the first five verses. David, this is a Psalm of David, and it says, "Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee." This is known as a psalm of lament. When David wrote this, he was going through some kind of difficulty. I don't know what it was, but he was experiencing some problems. And, you know, he cries out for God's mercy and for God's ear and all those sorts of things. And then we come to verse 5, and he says, "For thou, Lord, art good." And I read that verse. I just read that verse, and I just sort of let those words just kind of soak into my brain. And it just, I got to be honest with you, it just felt good. And I think maybe that's why that phrase kept going through my mind this week, because I just needed something to make me feel good. Don't you need that sometimes? Something just help you feel good. God is good. We forget that. And part of the reason for this message, I think, is just to remind you of that. Psalm 69:16 tells us that God's loving kindness is good. Psalm 109:21 tells us that God's mercy is good. Psalm 119:39 tells us that God's judgments are good. Psalm 119:68 tells us that God does good. And then listen to Psalm 34, verse 8. It says, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." The phrase, O taste and see, is an invitation to experience personally the goodness of God. And the only way to experience the goodness of God is to trust God and let you show him his goodness. Psalm 100, verse 5 says, "For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." Psalm 106, verse 1 says, "Praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Psalm 107 verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." I could read you several more verses just out of the book of Psalms. We don't even have to go to another book of the Bible. But you get the idea. God is good. We forget that, and sometimes we question that, don't we? You've heard the questions. Maybe you've asked the question. Well, if God is good, how could He let there be so much suffering in the world? You remember, I can remember when they flew the planes into the World Trade Centers. I can remember then people were saying that. Well, if God is good, how could He let that happen? If God is good, how could He let children? How can He let children suffer? Boy, that's a tough one, isn't it? Little innocent kids that suffer, they go hungry or their parents abuse them or whatever it might be. And boy, if God is good, how can He let that happen? Sometimes it gets a little more personal. Something happens to us, something difficult or mournful or painful, and we think in our minds, and sometimes we say the words and we think, if God is good, why am I suffering? You know what we forget? We forget Romans 5:12. The Bible says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Sin brought death, and with it suffering into the world. Somehow we've got it in our minds that God doesn't just allow suffering, but He causes suffering. Listen, that's just not the truth. We did it. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, they brought death and they brought suffering into the world because of their sin. And I know you say, well, now, wait a minute, Pastor, that was Adam and Eve. How come I'm suffering? That's the way we think. That was Adam and Eve that did that. How come I suffer for their sin? Well, I would remind you of the last phrase of that verse, Romans 5:12, "For that all have sinned." Psalms 14, verses 2 and 3 says, "The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." Romans 3:10 says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." We have all sinned and we're all guilty. That may be the greatest obstacle for people to overcome to get saved. I think in my mind, and as I deal with people, I'm beginning to think that's the greatest obstacle. A few weeks ago, I went to visit a gentleman. He's probably in his 50s, would be my guess, and he had experienced some physical difficulties, and I'm sure there were some other difficulties, I think, in his life that were going on at the time. And I went to see him. I thought, you know, maybe he's ready now to talk about some spiritual things, some eternal things. Maybe he's ready to talk about the condition of his soul. Maybe he's ready to get saved. The things that had happened to him would have scared me. And so I thought, maybe he's ready. And I knew him just a little bit. And so I went to go see him. And please understand me now. I'm not judging him. But there's nothing in his life. I know him well enough to know that there's nothing in his life to indicate that he's a Christian. As far as I know, and I've known him for a long time, as far as I know, there has never been anything in his life to indicate that he's a Christian. He lives in sin. He lives like a sinner. He talks like a sinner. And so I began to talk to him about his soul. And he told me, I know people think I'm a wicked, wicked man. Well, they think that because of the way he lives, see. But he insisted, he said, I'm a Christian. Our conversation about spiritual things ended right there. My prayer for him now, I prayed for him to get saved, and now my prayer for him is for God to convince him that he's lost. I know it's hard to admit it. It's hard to confess it. But we have all sinned. And our sin, my sin and your sin, Adam and Eve's sin, every person's sin, we have corrupted God's perfect creation. If you're looking for an explanation for the suffering in the world, the explanation is sin. Mankind is sinful. God is good. And we need to trust His goodness. I want you to go back to verse 5 and look again. God is not only good, God is ready to forgive. Verse 5 says, "For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive." God is anxious. God is waiting. God is willing. God is ready to forgive your sin. God's ready to forgive all of your sin. So I have people say, "Well, then how come all sin isn't forgiven? You know, if God's willing and ready and able, how come He just doesn't forgive everybody's sin?" Some people believe that's what God does, whether we ask, whether we want. No matter how we live, no matter what we do, God just forgives it, overlooks it, and everybody's just going to go to heaven and everything's just going to be wonderful. Do you remember the story of the prodigal son? He lived with his father. His father was wealthy, and one day the son, the prodigal, decided that he wanted his inheritance. He didn't want to wait for his dad to die. I suppose he was young, and he wanted to live it up. So he told his dad, "I want my inheritance," and so his dad cashed him out. And he gave him the money, gave him his inheritance, and the prodigal went out. And the Bible says that he wasted his inheritance on wine, women, and song. Doesn't use those words, but that's what he did. Wine, women, and song. And when the money ran out, the friends ran out. Satan doesn't love you. Listen, ultimately, Satan's going to abandon you. And so he didn't have any friends, he didn't have any money, he didn't have any food, he didn't have any place to live, any place to stay, nowhere to go. The Bible says that finally he wound up taking care of the pigs of a farmer. Now, for a Jewish young man, that was as low as you could get because pigs were unclean animals. So here he is, a Jewish person, every day dealing with unclean animals. The Bible says that he got so desperate that he would have eaten the food that he was feeding the pigs. The problem was his stomach, his system couldn't digest the food. But he was about ready to eat even that food. I want you to understand that from the moment the prodigal left, the father was ready to forgive him. The father was willing. The father longed to forgive his son from the moment he left. But until the son confessed his sin, he did not experience forgiveness. The Bible says that he finally came to himself in that pigsty. And he told himself, he said, "I'll go home. I'll go back home to my father and I'll say, 'Father, I have sinned.'" And the Bible says that he did. He came back and he met the Father and he said, "Father, I have sinned." And when he confessed his sin, he experienced his Father's forgiveness. It was always there. The Father was always willing. But he didn't experience forgiveness until he confessed his sin. I know it's difficult. I understand. Even as Christians, you know, there's story after story in the Bible. We've talked a lot about David and how he tried to hide his sin. And we do the same thing as Christians. Christians aren't perfect, and sometimes we commit sin, and instead of confessing, because we just hate to admit it, don't we? Instead of confessing, we try to cover it up or hide it or hope nobody will notice or hope God won't notice. And all the time, He is ready to forgive. But we only experience God's forgiveness when we confess our sin. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." But we must call upon the name of the Lord. We must be honest. God already knows. So we need to be honest with Him and tell Him what's happening in our lives. Finally, this verse tells us that God is plenteous in mercy. Again, verse 5. "For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee." Just this past week, I was at the post office and a gentleman came in and we got to talking a little bit and he was talking about how sinful people are today. There's no connection to the church. There's no connection to God. No knowledge or connection of spiritual things. And he was just kind of, you know, he was just sort of in one of those moods, just kind of shaking his head. "I just can't believe it." And finally he said, surely Jesus will come soon. And what he meant by saying that was, surely God won't allow man to be so sin, sinful much longer. Surely God won't put up with it for much longer. We have a hard time understanding the mercy and the long suffering of God, because most of the time we're neither merciful nor long suffering. But aren't you grateful for the mercy and the long suffering of God? Were it not for His mercy and were it not for His long suffering, all of us would be gone. All of us would be burning in the pits of hell. But God is merciful to us. I've already read several verses. Most of the verses that I read this morning that said God is good, said that the Lord is good, also said that His mercy endureth forever. Regardless of our sin, no matter how much or how great or how awful we think our sin might be, we can never exhaust the mercy of God. The Bible says that to those, verse 5 says that those that call upon Him, God is plenteous in mercy. Plenty of mercy to go around. Everybody experiences the mercy of God to some degree. Lamentations chapter 3 verse 22 says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not." We don't often think about this, but it's true. It is the mercy of God that any of us even exist day to day. People, this gentleman that I was talking about a while ago lives in sin every day. Mocks God every day, flaunts his sin in the face of God every day, and yet God has allowed him to live because of God's mercy. God allowed him to have someone come and talk to him about his soul because of God's mercy. Each of you are here this morning who are a Christian. You're a Christian because God convicted you. Sometime God convicted you of your sin, and that was because of God's mercy. Aren't you thankful for God's mercy? I am. But to fully experience the mercy of God, we need to call upon His name. We call upon His name for salvation. We call upon His name as Christians when we sin and fail Him. We call upon His name for mercy, for help, for strength, because God is good. All the time, always, in every circumstance, God is good. Would you stand with me this morning? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Sure, if you'll come and play us a song of invitation. I'm not even sure what kind of an invitation to make this morning. I'll be honest with you. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Nobody's looking around. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, now my invitation to you is to experience the goodness and the forgiveness and the mercy of God by confessing your sin and asking Him to forgive you. He'll do it. He's ready. Christian, my invitation to you is simply this. Let's remember, let's dwell on, let's meditate on the truth that God is good. We can trust Him. We can rest in His goodness. We can enjoy His goodness. Let's just remember that God is good. If you have a need this morning, you come. I'll share a place. Thank you for coming this morning. I appreciate your attention. Come back tonight for our family night. You'll have a good time. We always have a good time at our family nights. Wayne, would you dismiss us, please? Heavenly Father.
so much.